This is a special program produced and presented by Joel Noah and Aisha Mama.
We sin by what we say, we sin by what we do, we sin by what we are supposed to have done and what we have failed to do.
So we confess to God, we confess to individuals, and when it is the public we have hurt, we confess to the public.
Confession is a stepping stone to acquiring peace, to acquiring health, to just be happy.
Confession, also known as reconciliation, is an acknowledgement of sinfulness in public or private. It is regarded as necessary way to obtain divine forgiveness, good health, and social stability.
Philemon Foyce, my name. I'm the senior pastor of Patmos Baptist Church in Jouvence, Yaoundé. The first thing that comes to mind when you talk about confession is somebody recognizing that he has done wrong and acknowledging it and asking for forgiveness, most principally from God, but also very essentially, if you hurt somebody, you recognize that you have done wrong, you go to the person, you ask for forgiveness, tell the person you are sorry for what you did, that's confession.
Mr. Tosi Ezekiel, a teacher by profession and also a servant of God. It is the act of admitting one's error. Then spiritually, it is one's confession of sin to obtain forgiveness from God. It has four phases. The first phase of confession is the confession of the sins of the people under the old covenant. That is before the coming of Christ. They enter the new covenant from the old covenant, which is given understanding in the book of John chapter 3 verse 16, which says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life." Once you have opened up your heart, as John 3:16 says, and the leadership of the Holy Spirit takes over and he helps you, convicts you to begin to declare the things that will take you into the new realm, into a new lifestyle. The believer's confession of faith. Your life is like money you have put into a bank account. If it was in a wrong bank account, then you need to take it out and take it to the right bank account. There is a last concept, which is the individual, the sin confession of a believer. It concerns only those who have transcended from the old law to the new law.
I am Pascal Kumawa, a medical anthropologist, professor of anthropology, University of Yaoundé 1. Confession is a very simple act that people do or they perform. People confess because they have guilt. They know they have done something wrong. And the only way to heal themselves is to talk to somebody. Confession is actually talking to somebody that you know is close to deity, to God, to a supreme being. And it can be in any context, either in the traditional African context, where you go and talk to your ancestors, you go and talk to the God that that community worships. If you are a Christian, you go and talk to a priest, to a pastor, to acknowledge the fact that you have done certain things wrong.
I want to find out how it is organized in your church.
In our church, we preach and encourage people to confess individually. Like on Sunday morning, there is a time you ask people to make things right with God. So you've done something you know that God is not happy about, you ask God to forgive you. We believe in the priesthood of all believers, which means that an individual has direct access to God. So you confess directly to God. Sometimes the pastor gets involved. Like if you have two people who disagree violently, disagree significantly, and have a problem with even acknowledging that there is something wrong or acknowledging their guilt and coming together, the pastor can reconcile them, which means bringing them together, talking to the point where each one recognizes that he has done wrong, and then sitting together and confessing to each other, and then praying to God for a restored relationship. If we don't have that kind of direct intervention where you ask that, okay, today's confession day, come and see the pastor and do your confessions. No, we don't do that.
Another way in which we do in our congregations, we don't also want to assume that individuals can somehow confess on their own. So each time we meet in the presence of God, there is what is called a confession phase. And in the confession phase, like he said in the book of Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 and 2, my ears are not too deaf that I cannot hear you, nor my hand too short that I cannot get to you. But the problem is your sin. And so in each fellowship that we have, we make sure a face of confession is given, and we lead people to be sure that they have confessed. And sometimes we challenge them that there is an issue that does not need only you and God. Then now, your spiritual leader needs to know about it so that he will handle it technically and it will not end with a disaster, but with love amongst you.
Generally, confession is opened to believers of all ages, sex, and social ladder who should come for sin admission regularly to get free from burden.
As soon as you realize that you have done something wrong, talk to God about it and confess. You know, Peter asked Jesus, how many times do we have to confess? How many times do we have to forgive? It means how many times does the one that I've wronged have to confess, or how many times do I have to confess to be forgiven? And he says 70 times, 70 times. It means endless.
At what age?
Everybody that is able to be conscious of sin should confess. As soon as the child is conscious that he has done something wrong, teach that child to confess. Because it is essential to life. Even if you are 190 years old and you have hurt a one-day-old baby, confess to that child. It is natural, it is important for relationships, and it is for everybody. If government realizes that they have done something wrong to the population, they should confess.
When you keep things in your mind, they pile up, they become stress factors and they make you stress, so they work on your body, they affect your quality of life. You are not happy, you feel sick, you have pains all over your body. Nobody has beaten you, you didn't do some strenuous physical activity, but you feel you are sick. And you go to the hospital, they can perform all sorts of tests. They will never identify what is worrying or happening with you. And that is why at times not confessing and piling up a lot of stress factors on you, or having so many problems, or being an orchestrator of many problems, makes you vulnerable to so many diseases.
If you want to confess to God at any time, at any place, God will hear. If I'm driving and I realize that I have behaved badly on the road, thank God I didn't cause an accident. As I'm leaving the scene, I say, Father, Lord, I'm sorry that I misbehaved. Maybe I decided to look at my phone to answer a call or to look at a text message, and I say, oh, you know, I wasn't supposed to do that. If I realize that, I say, Father, I'm sorry. But again, as I said, by the time you get back to your home and kneel down by your bedside or wherever to pray, confess. Because those things you did that you did not know, you still need to be forgiven. But public sin should be confessed publicly. If you hurt a people, confess to the people. You cannot hurt me and go and confess only in your bedroom, because you will restore your relationship with God, but you will not restore your relationship with me. In fact, the Bible says if you are on the way to the altar to give your offering and you realize that there is somebody with whom you have matters to settle, leave the gift. Go back and settle that issue and then come and give. Which tells us that God desires that we confess and maintain good relationships.
The best position for confession.
Best position for confession is a humble heart. It is the nailing of your heart that is important, and not whatever posture you do with your body. But most of the time, you know, when somebody is guilty, he goes down on his knees So that would be the most popular posture for people confessing. Most importantly, be kneeling in your heart, humble.
Confession is a statement made by a person or by a group of people in recognition of some facts that hurt. This move unburdens the deeds before a priest, a pastor, man, and more especially before God. Confession, therefore, invites for forgiveness and cleansing from God unto man's broken life. Repentance changes the life of he who repents and bring harmony to the relationship of both parties.
Pascal Kumawa, a medical anthropologist. In the Christian context, it is in the Islamic context, it is in the Hindu, it is in the African context, people confess every day because people commit evil every day and they feel guilty that they have done it. Even if they don't come out openly to say, this is what I've done, in their minds, it worries them, and they always feel, okay, let me talk to somebody who is close to a supreme being who can listen to me. And that person may even be a parent, it may even be a mentor.
Repentance means the person who committed the sin and the one against whom the sin was committed have agreed not to disagree. This reconciliation has the power to bring back good standing relationship and heals the wound. A mortal sin is considered as a more serious offense, while venial sin is lesser. These offenses sometimes weigh down on the bearer and can be the cause of a number of health issues.
Confession is a body-mind intervention, because when you confess, you free your mind of all the problems that have been worrying you. So you take them out. It's like going into a well that is dirty, cleaning it out and throwing it out to get clean water. That is how confession is. But if you don't throw it out by telling some other person, it is emptying your body of it. And when your mind is clear and you don't more have that spirit of guilt, then your body relaxes. You find all the pains in your body. You find all the hallucinations that you have been having disappearing on their own. That is healing that has occurred.
To commit an offense means to be less perfect, and no human is perfect. Strive towards purity, therefore, is by admission, which is a source of relief that has both psychological and physical effects on the well-being of the confessee.
I am Monsignor Jervis Kebei, and I'm a priest of the Diocese of Buea, currently working here in Yaoundé as the Secretary General of the National Episcopal Conference. There is a power of healing, spiritual healing first and foremost, physical healing, psychological healing, and sociological healing. Because when you come out, you feel much lighter and freer, even in the society in which you are. You know, when you begrudge people and you are so embittered, it's like you are carrying them along with you. And sometimes you feel so oppressed that when you come out of confession, the weight is uplifted. So, the sacrament of confession is holistic in its healing. And I come to this. Go through the scriptures. Practically, every time Christ heals someone, before he heals a person, or sometimes after he has healed the person, go, your sins are forgiven. Sometimes also there are people who are actually sick, and they have been to one doctor after the other, and now they are on the way to going to see the soothsayer, and they consult their spiritual director, a priest, or some other person of spiritual worthiness. And the person says, since when did you last go for confession? Says, it's been a long time. Go for confession. And the person goes for confession and is healed. Sometimes, yes, you are physically sick, but your physical sickness also cannot be healed. It is proven if the psychological state is not balanced.
I remember I made one stupid mistake one time in my life, which I regret a lot, and which troubled me for a very long time because I was so ashamed to encounter the priest with that burden. I already made a decision never to repeat such a thing again and had equally been praying on my own, asking for forgiveness from God several times concerning the same issue. But I never felt like God had actually forgiven me. I am the only one to free myself by carrying out one easy but very difficult task, which is going for confession. Though it was a big battle within me accepting to go and confess that particular issue, I had to do it because I realized I had still not forgiven myself. And when finally I presented myself as a sinner before the priest, his words reminded me of the fact that even in that condition, I am still a child of God, and God still loves me and is ready to accept me because I have repented from my sins. After that confession, I felt lighter. The relief I experienced within me strengthened my faith in God.
My name is Madame Sila Margaret. Once there was one mama like that, sick. Then she was just trying to give up. When the priest and tell her to surrender, let her empty herself to God. Because if they are praying like this, you don't empty yourself to God and confess any problem that you had, you will not get well. So she did, but later on she got well.
And Madame Don Romans, I had a breast problem that were always swollen. So after that confession, with the relationship that I had already in Christ, that affliction went alone. Nobody prayed for me. And the affliction that I suffered for over 7 good years. It started when I was in Form 3.
It's confession, a peace builder.
Monsignor Jeff is Kebei. If they attend to the confession with sincerity, because with anything, people can also fake and people can also abuse. But when you use the sacrament for its intended purpose and in a kind of a manner that applies to its real purpose, the rewards are enormous. And you've just mentioned peace. Peace in your own heart and in your own person. Peace with the people around whom you did not feel at peace because you were carrying them. Peace also in your physique. It touches all the dimensions of the human person.
Titatan Kingsley Bobga, Reverend Pastor of the Presbyterian Church in Cameroon, in Simbok Mendong Parish.
If we truly human beings were able to open up and confess our shortcomings, even all the crises, the wars, and the cries that we have around us will not be there. I want to say this emphatically. I don't think in the eyes of God, He will not show mercy on all of us. It only needs you to be able to take a decision, a bold step, to say, oh, this my brother did this to me, it's over. And that is what is our cry. Even in context, when you say that I will not forgive you, we'll only meet in heaven. We are here on earth. Tell me that, brother, I'm sorry. Tell me, sister, that I'm sorry. And be ready, because one thing with forgiveness is that when you go for forgiveness, sometimes you can decide to take the position of the sinner and remain in that level in order to win the other person back. God has given us the ability to judge from ourselves whether what we are doing is right or the actions we are carrying. Sometimes, you know, we belong in the secular world where many politicians will not be able to tell you that they are sorry. They will tell you that what they are doing it out of politics. But can you be a Christian playing politics without political virtues? The political virtues must accompany you. And in the course of accompanying you, it will shape a dimension of understanding how to live with people in the society.
Philemon Ford, Senior Pastor of Patmos Baptist Church in Jouvence, Yaoundé. In peace building, there's something they call retrospective justice, and that justice cannot really be established without confessions. If you have a truth and reconciliation committee, it must get to the point of confessions, where people who have done wrong are held responsible and are given the chance to confess. Mama, we are not talking about the kind of confession we have in the football field. You know, footballers, when I do something wrong, I'm afraid that the referee is going to blow. I quickly tap you on the back and even try to get you over and say, I'm sorry. But in reality, I'm just trying to keep myself from being given a red card or a yellow card. That's not true confession. We mean genuine confession in which there is remorse, there's an acceptance of wrong, there's a willingness to repent, there's a genuine apology, and there is a demand for forgiveness.
Pascal Kumawa, professor of anthropology, University of Yaoundé 1. Confession is a vector of peace. You have two very glaring examples in Africa. Take South Africa. Before apartheid could die down and reduce to its barest minimum, people had to come forward and confess. And that is why you have some peace in South Africa. The second example, after the genocide in Rwanda, the only thing that could pull people together was that people sat down and confessed that, yes, I did X. I was in charge of killing this, killing that. And then now everybody is aware, okay, all of us went wrong. And they now live together. But when people decide not to confess, then the society will remain sick, because there are illnesses that are individual, there are illnesses that are collective. So we confess individually and we confess as groups of people. So confession is a stepping stone to acquiring peace, to acquiring health, to just be happy.
There is a lot of moral decadence today among the young people. Can we say that confession had a shortcoming somewhere?
Don't blame the young people. I blame the elders, those who brought them to the world. Because a lot of what the young people are doing, they have learned from the elderly people. And to solve the problem of the young people, the adults need to confess. And the young people have to come forward and plead to be forgiven. So insofar as the old people don't come out to acknowledge that they have done something wrong, the young people will continue to go the way they are going, because they are testing against the ills that older people have committed that is affecting their lives.
Church leaders affirm that the doors of the house of God stay open all the time to usher in followers. And among those who come to church, their faith vary from one person to another. One group has been hailed in many denominations for additional efforts to keep worship on progress. This group is that of women.
Sociologically, I cannot actually give you an exact figure, but it is a cross-section of Christians. But then, if you look at the Christian population, the more fervent population are women, generally in congregational groups. But I dare not say it is only women who come, because in fact, a big number of men. And then for the young, they also come.
You know so well that in the church, the majority of the Christians are women and the young people. These are the two categories of people that always sometimes will come to the pastor or to go to the priest and be able to bring themselves low. Because, you know, our world is a male-dominated world. Men are always proud of things that they do which is not correct. But to be true, women are too submissive. When they realize themselves, they come to you asking, Pastor, pray for us, intercede for us. The young people too, they are vulnerable. They fall through all kinds of trials and temptations. Sometimes they are very rare men that can even come to you. The people who are the weaker sex and the people who feel too much, they feel always to bring the family together to see that people reunite, are actually women. And because they form the core of the church, we don't play with women. We try as much as possible to reach out to them, to listen to them, and to be able to find ways by which we can help them to overcome.
Come to church as a family has an added advantage, which is to pass on spiritual values to children.
In the Catholic Church, we have a youth apostolate, a kind of a service that takes care of youth. And when they are gathered together and they are having those their sessions, we also organize confession sessions, penitential sessions, and the priests come there. I tell you, it is very often overwhelming, their number. You know, it's just to give people the opportunity. You will not want to organize some kind of occasion where you want everybody to feel free, and you bring children and youth and their parents together. Yeah, they will mix, but there are certain things where youth would tend to group themselves together. But when you give them this opportunity where they are among themselves, I tell you, it is enormous. And it is so heart-rending. It's encouraging. That's it. But then, generally, in the congregation and in the community, it is the youth, the mothers, the fathers, that is men and women, who come. And it is open. And sometimes even they even come as a family. You have the papa, mama, and the young ones. And it's so healthy when they do that too. Because then the papa really feels, I mean, he has gone for confession. The children also see that their papa is as vulnerable as they are. Their mama is as vulnerable as they are. Not like as sinful as they are. But that they are human and they can seek recourse to God for the forgiveness of their sins.
You know, confession for things done deliberately or by certain circumstances are very delicate, and we have to handle them with a lot of care. Lots of problems happening in marital homes these days are becoming challenging, and even at the level of families. And at the end of the day, we have ended up winning the souls that we almost lost and confused.
In order to maintain a conflict-free society, pastors, priests, and spiritual guards, under no circumstances, have to reveal what has been discussed in a confession room.
The sociological facet of confession. That was a special program produced and presented by Joel Noah and Aisha Mama.